Saturday marks the anniversary of the Battle of Midway, the turning point of the Second World War in the Pacific. Just 6 months after Pearl Harbor, an outnumbered and outgunned United States Navy shattered four Japanese aircraft carriers and scored an improbable victory. But the admiral who commanded U.S. forces that day got very little credit for that famous victory, and most historians associate the name Frank Jack Fletcher with ineptitude and timidity. John Lundstrom, the leading historian of the period, is trying to set the record straight in a new book called Black Shoe Carrier Admiral. He's curator of military history at the Milwaukee Public Museum, and he joins us now from the studios of member station WUWM in Milwaukee. And John Lundstrom, it's nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
It's very nice to be here, sir.
Let me ask you first, I guess you'd better define that phrase, Black Shoe Admiral.
A black shoe in the United States Navy was an officer who was a surface officer who commanded battleships and cruisers. And this is opposed to having brown shoes, which were naval officers who were pilots, who were aviators.
And
so there was a dichotomy between the two of them.
And this goes back to a strong prejudice which existed at the time of, early opening days of the Second World War for the United States Navy. Aviators, the brown shoes, felt chafed whenever they were commanded by a black shoe, someone who they felt did not understand their business.
Absolutely. It was a case where the aviators themselves weren't quite senior enough, didn't have the rank, and there weren't enough of them at the top rank, so they had to turn these aircraft carriers, which of course is the prime aviation weapon, over to men who really hadn't trained in them.
And this was also the opening months of a war in which the battleship was displaced as the central unit of the fleet. Before everything had been organized around the battleship, suddenly after Pearl Harbor, the United States was using an untested instrument, the aircraft carrier, often, as in the case of Admiral Fletcher, in the hands of people who hadn't commanded them before.
And they were using them against the Japanese who used the aircraft carrier to win at Pearl Harbor. So you had to be able to have, you had to fight people that probably knew how to use the carrier better than you did.
In the opening campaigns of the Second World War, and I have to confess that like many other people, a lot of my knowledge derives from Samuel Eliot Morrison's accounts of those days in his unofficial operation, U.S. Naval operations in World War II. We've got several of those volumes, but he describes Frank Jack Fletcher as an admiral who seemingly was on the wrong foot most of the time. Whenever you needed to be somewhere, he seemed to be off refueling.
Well, it's a case of doing history right at the end of the war and not having the distance to look back. And Samuel Eliot Morrison served in the war as a historian, and he knew a lot of people who knew a lot of things, but he also knew people that were prejudiced in the sense that they had their own agendas to face. And I think Fletcher sort of fell back, fell among the cracks because of that, because everybody thought they could have done a better job than he did. But it must be pointed out, the man never lost a battle. Every single action he fought, the United States or the Allies won strategically. It's just that, again, people all thought they could have done a better job than he did.
And one of those cases, involves somebody who did do a better job at the Battle of Midway. Admiral Fletcher was in overall command of the two U.S. carrier task forces that were at the Battle of Midway. His carrier, the Yorktown, was damaged in battle by Japanese aircraft, and a lot of people think that the best thing Admiral Fletcher ever did in his career was to go to the other admiral who was on the scene, Raymond Spruance, and say, hey, you're in charge.
Well, you should read what Admiral Spruance has to say about this. He always acknowledges that Fletcher was his commander, and he also acknowledged that when Fletcher turned command over to Spruance, the battle was already won. So there's, again, new information coming on this to show that that maybe Fletcher did a pretty good job at Midway, and it's something that Spruance himself has always acknowledged.
Well, Spruance himself, most historians say his truly brilliant moment was later that day after he was in command and decided to, pull back and not expose his forces to attack by Japanese surface forces, so an important contribution that Admiral Spruance did make.
Absolutely. It was the right thing to do, but Fletcher's Yorktown that was badly damaged and was immobile at the time was actually closer to the Japanese than Spruance was. So that's why Fletcher had to leave the Yorktown behind or risk being attacked by Japanese forces
that
night.
But if Frank Jack Fletcher is rendered more or less invisible by Raymond Spruance and by Chester Nimitz, for that matter, at the Battle of Midway, he is castigated, especially by members of the United States Marine Corps, for what he did at the landings at Guadalcanal.
Exactly. He pulled the carriers out, supposedly to refuel, but it's a case, again, of not having the whole information. These histories that were done, and virtually all the criticism of Fletcher was on histories that were written by 1950. It's sort of like looking at the Civil War and thinking, that you're going to judge a general in the Civil War by material that was published in 1870. It's now time, after all these years, to take another look at it. And when I was doing my books, I've seen much more than anybody else has and written on the subject, and mm-hmm. it's just time for a fresh look.
We're talking with John Lundstrom, curator of military history at the Milwaukee Public Museum and author of many books about the early days of the Second World War in the Pacific, including the forthcoming Black Shoe Carrier Admiral. And he's talking about the career of Frank Jack Fletcher, who's an important admiral for the U.S. Navy in the early months of the Second World War and afterwards was sort of relegated to shore command. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. John Lundstrom, let's go back a little bit more about Guadalcanal. This is something that Marines find particularly distasteful. United States Navy landed the Marines. This was so-called Operation Shoestring, put together at the last minute on Guadalcanal to block the Japanese advance. There was a raid later that day by Japanese aircraft, and that night it was Admiral Fletcher who said, "I'm taking your air cover and pulling out. I don't want to expose my forces to air attack." And, of course, what happened that night, not necessarily his fault, was the Battle of Savo Island, in which Japanese surface forces came down and crushed the cruisers, for the most part, that were guarding the landing ships, which all have had to pull out. The Marines were then left on Guadalcanal with their ships unloaded.
Correct. Mostly unloaded. But the key to looking at the situation is to understand what Fletcher knew at the time. And the only way you can do that is go back to the dispatches and files and such, and to understand that when he pulled his carriers out, first of all, he was short on fuel, and that's not something you can argue with now, the new information. And second of all, he thought things were going quite well, and he thought that the transports that left the Marines had unloaded everything and were going to come out with him. The communication was extremely poor between the landing force and the carriers that were about 60 to 70 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, the principal problem or the principal thing that you have to understand is Fletcher only had three carriers. These carriers not only had to support the landing, but they had to be ready to meet any Japanese counteroffensive, which could include Japanese carriers. And you're looking at an operation in 1942 that had three carriers. The next major invasion would have been in November 1943, had 19 carriers. So Fletcher is doing things with very, very small forces.
And doing things often on the fly. We forget just how quickly the Guadalcanal operation was thrown together.
Just within a month and a half, basically, after Midway.
I wonder, does Admiral Fletcher suffer by comparison? His contemporaries included Bill Halsey, known as Bull Halsey to the public, never to anybody who actually knew him. Nobody called him that to his face. But Admiral William Halsey was one of the great heroes for many in the Second World War, highly aggressive and very colorful, and the much less colorful, Raymond Spruance, who was brilliant.
Well, he definitely suffers because he's not around very long. He's relieved from command after the beginning of the Guadalcanal campaign. And he's more or less sent to the North Pacific a little later in the war. And he never got back into it. In fact, there were histories done in 1943 that were sponsored by the Navy that actually failed to mention Fletcher even being at Midway, let alone being in command. So something's going on behind the scenes with Fletcher.
What do you think it is?
I think it's a case of, first of all, he was the first one to command. There was a lot of jealousy involved in that by certain people who thought, again, they could have done a much better job.
He was politically connected.
What's interesting, his most important political connection was with Admiral Richardson, who was relieved before Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And so he really didn't have much political connection at that particular time. He didn't get along with King.
Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. Navy, yes.
Exactly. And a lot of it was due to misunderstanding. They just didn't really know what was happening. This happened so quickly. These campaigns happened so fast. He was at sea for most of the first 9 months of the war. It's unbelievable the strain he must have suffered under. But yet again, he did, I think, a very, very good job.
After the war, he never did anything to try to clear his reputation.
Well, one problem was he lost all of his papers. In fact, a lot of his papers are sitting right now for Coral Sea and Midway are sitting in New Yorktown, three and a half miles down. They're probably in perfect shape. I'd love to see them, but I don't think I will. And his papers for Guadalcanal were lost to him because he never had a chance to come back and get them. And there are admirals who have written on Guadalcanal, like Admiral Richmond Kelly Turner,
mm-hmm.
who did it on the basis of the papers they were able to save. And he had kind of a choice to make when this all began happening. He either was going to enjoy his retirement that he'd been waiting for, or he was going to fight these battles for the rest of his life. And he just simply chose to retire.
What did he do after his naval service?
He basically lived on a wonderful farm in Maryland, a colonial farm, and really enjoyed himself, worked in civic affairs, had a good life. He lived until 1973, and he's buried in Arlington.
By all accounts, a very nice man, too.
Absolutely. He was well-liked. I was very fortunate to talk to the enlisted men who served with him in his particular flag complement, men who saw him every hour of the day and under all the different pressures and such. They all thought the man was terrific.
Going back now and reevaluating the career of Frank Jack Fletcher, this pioneer in the Second World War, how do you characterize his service?
What's so remarkable is that when he went on board an aircraft carrier the first time in January 1942, month after Pearl Harbor, he'd never been on one before, and he had to learn how to fight. He had to know where to get the right advice and who to listen to and how to do it. And the carrier that he commanded, the Yorktown, was probably the best carrier that the United States had in 1942, the most advanced in terms of doctrine, how it fought. It's just ironic that it was the one that was sunk at Midway, because it even at Midway, it by far was the best-handled ship. But to be able to step in when you don't have the knowledge, intimate knowledge of a technology, and be able to pick it up as well as he did, to lose your shirt, considering what he was facing, he was always facing odds, it's terrific.
John Lundstrom, thanks very much.
Thank you, sir.
John Lundstrom, curator of military history at the Milwaukee Public Museum. His book, Black Shoe Carrier Admiral, is expected to be published in early 2006, and he joined us from WUWM in Milwaukee. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.